So this morning, I'd like to offer some reflections and some guidance around how we might explore in our experience around one of the principal drivers of this push-pull of reactivity, of craving, of this adding of the second arrow that I talked about last night. And one of the principal drivers of this is what's known as feeling tone or tonality. In the language that's come down to us from the Buddha, he referred to it as Vedana, Vedana. And according to Buddhist teachings, any sensory contact we have, so any sight, sound, smell, taste, body touch, sensation, or what's often treated as a sixth sense within Buddhist teachings, the mind, thoughts, memories, and so on that come through the mind will have an associated feeling tone that arises with it. And this feeling tone arises on a spectrum of pleasant, unpleasant. So in the body, we might think of it on that spectrum from pain to pleasure. In terms of the other senses, it's much more a mental sense of happiness or unhappiness that comes with the contact. So, as was talked about yesterday, hearing the sound of the bird brings this sense of pleasantness, this happiness that comes with it. At the same time, or close by, we hear the sound of the traffic in the distance, and there's a slight unhappiness. It disturbs the pleasantness of the sound of the bird. So, this spectrum, as I said, moves from what's unpleasant to what's pleasant. And in the middle point, there is what we might call a grey area of what's often referred to as neither pleasant nor unpleasant. We might think of it about as nothing much happening, that what's going on in our experience isn't having much register or much impact on us. So, this feeling tone is not a judgment about the experience. It was recently pointed out to me that this term Vedana actually comes from the root Veda, which means knowledge. So, what the feeling tone is doing is it's giving us some useful information from the body mind about our experience. It's informing us of something. So, an example of this is for most of us, if we touch something that's quite hot, the immediate reaction is to let go of it. It causes an unpleasant or a painful sensation in the hand, and there's a movement away. There are people who have a degenerative illness whereby the body doesn't register through the nerve system pleasure and pain. So if they touch something hot, or if they cut their leg, it actually doesn't register. And this is quite dangerous because they're not getting the information that tells them there's something that they need to do to take care of, particularly if they cut themselves or they touch something hot. They can actually have quite serious injury without really being aware of it. So this feeling tone is very much rooted in our evolutionary biology. It actually gives us information. We can imagine in those days when we were still hunter-gatherers on the plains that actually hearing a sound, a rustle in the undergrowth would be something unpleasant. It would actually inform us that there's something we need to be wary of. There might be some danger nearby. Whereas the sounds of the voices of our tribe would be a sense of comfort, a sense of ah. We can relax and feel secure here to some degree. So, this feeling tone gives us information. But what's important to notice with it is that it doesn't reside in the object of contact. It's actually something we bring to experience. So, a very simple and rather funny example one might talk about is Marmite. Now, I find Marmite actually quite disgusting. It's very, very unpleasant. But there are others who actually find Marmite a very, very pleasant taste. If the Marmite itself was inherently unpleasant or inherently pleasant, we'd all experience it the same way. The fact that we actually experience it differently points to the fact that actually it's not the Marmite that has this pleasant or unpleasantness in it. It's actually something that our body mind brings to the experience to give us some sort of information. So the body has this immediate, and mind has this immediate feeling tone that arises with whatever the sensory stimulus is. So we talk about them co-arising. They arise together. And we tend to have a very inbuilt habitual reactivity to it. So when something is unpleasant, our tendency is to push it away, to want to get rid of it, and to want to avoid it. And we have the perception of not liking it, of not wanting it, and that movement of mind. When something is pleasant, we have the opposite movement. So we have the felt sense that it's pleasant, and we pull it towards us. We want to hold on to it. We'd like to keep hold of it. We'd like to repeat it in the future. And again, the perception moves into from this pleasantness, I like, I want, and the movement beyond that. And in this gray area in between, we have this nothing much happening. And our tendency here is to actually ignore. It doesn't actually hold our interest. So the mind tends to move to disinterest and actually searching for some other stimulus that's actually going to have more impact on the body mind. So an example here might be when we're washing the dishes. And Thich Nhat Hanh talks about this quite a lot. When we're washing the dishes, what we often find is we're thinking about the cup of tea we're going to have or something we're going to do tomorrow. That actually the action and the feeling that or tone that comes with washing the dishes isn't interesting enough to us to actually hold our attention. Our mind seeks stimulation elsewhere. And what's quite interesting with feeling tone is, and I'll talk a lot more about this tonight, but we tend to have a tendency to notice what's unpleasant at a very much lower intensity to what's pleasant. So psychologists talk about this as a negativity bias and actually talk about how something needs to be five times as intensely pleasant as unpleasant to displace it. So we tend to have quite a large range of experience that we consider unpleasant. If we think about it as a number line, so for pleasant goes from 0 to plus 10, unpleasant goes from 0 to minus 10, we really start to recognize and react to the unpleasant, let's say at about minus 1 or minus 1.5. Whereas we won't really start to register and notice the pleasant and actually start to react to it until it's maybe plus 4 or plus 5. So part of practice with feeling tone is to actually start to attune to the more subtle pleasant, to actually shift that balance so that rather than nothing much happening, neither pleasant or unpleasant, running from plus 4 on the pleasant side to minus 1 on the unpleasant side, we shift it maybe to plus 2 on the pleasant side to minus two, maybe on the negative side. We become less reactive, but also start to actually notice the more subtle areas of pleasantness in our experience. And this actually can be a source of great nourishment. So rather than chasing kind of peak experiences or happiness at a very intense level, we actually start to be nourished but by the more subtle, the more easeful, the more peaceful experiences in our lives, that they actually resource us and support us. So this feeling tone is a very important aspect of our experience. And it's quite useful to actually start to become more familiar with it and the habitual reactivity that comes with it. As I pointed out last night, one of the ways the Buddha defined the difference between what he could call the uninstructed run-of-the-mill person and the well-instructed disciple was how they responded to, or in our case, reacted to, feeling tone, to what's painful and to what's pleasant or pleasurable in their experience. So what I'd like to invite today is to actually just to start to gently pay attention to it a bit more to this aspect of our experience. And as I say that, just notice the tendency we can have with having something to do. Many of us can have a tendency to turn it into a project, something we have to do, doing it right, getting it right, doing it in the correct way. And really just noticing that as part of our experience, if we have that tendency. And to really invite a much more playful exploration of this. So not to make it a project, but just from time to time throughout the day, if you notice your attention is getting caught in some aspect of your experience, so it may be something difficult, maybe a pain in the body, a difficult memory that arises, a difficult thought, or it also may be something pleasant, maybe some moments of peace descend in the meditation and you notice that movement of the mind to want to hold on to it. Just noticing in those moments when the attention is getting caught by a particular experience, what's the feeling tone? What's arising with it? So as I said, this perception of I like or I don't like. Or it also may be noticing that the mind is just distracted because there's not much going on and it doesn't feel like there's anything in the experience that the mind feels is juicy enough to keep it present. So it's just looking for some way of stimulation, something to keep it occupied. So just gently from time to time tuning in. And sometimes it might be a bit more after the event. We just notice that we've come out of a really, really difficult time of contraction around some experience. We just notice, that was actually very unpleasant feeling tone that I got caught into. That actually there was this movement of not liking, not wanting, and that second arrow of actually resistance, trying to get rid of, trying to fix. But also in those times we can notice it, if we can also tune into how it feels in the body mind. What we'll often find is that there's contraction and tension. There's a contraction and tension in the body as we resist or as we try to hold on to. Or there's also a contraction and tension in the mind. The mind becomes very fixated and tight around that particular aspect of our experience. the other aspects of experience that are open to us become unavailable. And this is part of the way we can actually start to move into this allowing, softening, relaxing, and letting go of this push-pull by inviting a relaxing of either the bodily or the attention contraction. So when we notice that tension in the body of not wanting because we're having an unpleasant experience, we can actually invite a softening of that tension in the body. And this softening of the intention itself brings some degree of well-being because we're starting to loosen some of that hold and some of that additional stress in the body. But also it starts to invite a releasing, a relaxing, a movement towards letting go of that reactivity. Similarly, if we notice it more in the mind has become very contracted and dense around a particular object, a particular stimulus. We can invite an opening of the intention. So I talked a lot about this yesterday, inviting the attention to open wider to the whole body or to sounds as a way of starting to bring more spaciousness, less contraction to the mind and to the attention, to the awareness. So the invitation today is again to really follow the thread that's supporting you and in cultivating this attitude of kindness, of welcoming, of allowing, of care towards our experience. And within that, as I said last night, within that invitation to meet our experience as it's arising, also developing that wisdom of knowing when to back off, when to actually move the attention to something more supportive that can actually resource and nourish the being so that we can open a bit more fully to what's causing us any difficulty and distress, if that's what's arising in our experience. And if it feels helpful as part of that, just to, as I said, from time to time, in a playful way, an attitude of exploration, just to notice when we are finding ourselves caught by an experience, what is the feeling tone? What's that movement of mind towards contracting, that movement of the body towards tensing around the wanting, not wanting, liking, not liking, trying to hold on to or trying to get rid of, trying to actually fix our experience in some way. And just tuning into how that feels in the body or the mind as a way of actually then inviting a softening of that craving, that push-pull.